Easy as that. All right, let's move on then to 1023, please.
Establish the redemption interest rate and the redemption penalty rate to comply with Code Chapter 5.30, Collections and Foreclosure Process.
And 1024, while you're at it, please.
1024, amend Collection and Foreclosure Code to clarify aspects of the redemption process.
So as it happens, I started my day yesterday at Lentz School. I was there actually to help film a video about solar panels on their roof. It had nothing to do with this issue. But across the street from Lentz School is a zombie house. Boarded up, ugly, a blight on the neighborhood. If you walk down the street to Holgate and 97th, there are two zombie houses. Boarded up, in one case burned out, and needles in the yard. What people in Lentz might say other neighborhoods in Portland wouldn't put up with. They've been putting up with for way too long. This team of people is starting to change that. And these actions before us are two more bricks in rebuilding a system where we actually get these issues resolved. And I'm very pleased that the auditor's office, the city attorney's office, and the city treasurer are continuing to move this forward. And with that, I'll turn it over to our treasurer and our city attorney.
Thank you. Jennifer Cooperman, city treasurer, and Dan Simon from city attorney's office, here to speak on two ordinances regarding the city's foreclosure process for properties that are approved for sale by city council. First, I'd like to briefly mention that regarding the five properties that council approved for foreclosure back in June, title companies have been requesting payoff amounts for the lien amounts on three of the properties as part of potential sale transactions to new parties. So there appears to be activity that will hopefully lead to properties moving into the hands of new owners even before the foreclosure sale takes place. Also, rules governing the conduct of the foreclosure sale were posted to the Treasury website on August 1st. Code requires that these rules be available at least 60 days prior to the foreclosure sale, so I anticipate gearing up the actual sale process starting in early October. Both of the items on today's agenda pertain to the redemption period, which is, again, the one-year period after a foreclosure sale when an interested party has the right to reclaim their property by paying in full the amount of the foreclosure sale price plus interest and penalty. The first ordinance establishes the redemption period interest rate and the penalty rate, both of which are required to be set by ordinance and are not currently in place. The recommended interest rate of 12% is equal to the interest rate charged during the lien collection process that's managed by the auditor's office and which is already specified in code. The recommended penalty rate of 20% is consistent with IRS tax code. The second ordinance will first give purchasers the right to possess, maintain, and improve the property during the redemption period. And second, if a property is redeemed, will allow the treasurer to use all or some of the redemption penalty amount to reimburse the purchaser for costs that were incurred during that redemption period. Current code limits the rights and abilities of purchasers during the redemption period, the current code also does not address how that penalty amount is to be used. Presumably, it would go to the city. These changes will align city code with ORS. There's a concern that unless code is amended, these properties may not attract bidders, nor will successful purchasers be able to address the health, safety, and livability issues until the one-year redemption period has expired. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Would you like to add anything?
Mayor Hales, City Commissioners, my name is Dan Simon. I'm with the City Attorney's Office, and I've been assisting Ms. Cooperman with this ordinance. I support everything that she said. I believe that the 20% redemption penalty represents some sound analysis and thinking on her part, and it balances the rights of the potentially redeeming party to come in and redeem the party for the interest and penalty rate with the financial security that would be granted to somebody who would be purchasing the property at the foreclosure sale and their ability to make maintenance and improvements to the property and ameliorate some of the conditions that Mayor Hales was referring to earlier.
You may recall, Council, that we created a new position in the city attorney's budget to focus on this issue. Mr. Simon is that person, so I hope you've had a chance to work with him. He's doing great work, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have, and he has.
All right. Questions for either of these folks? And we also have the auditor's staff here. So, any questions about these two ordinances? If not, then let's see if there's anyone here that wants to speak on either of them.
Mr. Lightning.
Come on up, please. Thank you both.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. As you know, on the foreclosure process, one of the concerns I had is where the money will end up going. As you know, in 2015, the Oregon legislature amended Ordinance 275-275, directing the proceeds from the sale of real property acquired by foreclosure to an account or fund to provide, number one, funds for housing placement and retention support services for youth and families with children. Two, flexible rental assistance to place youth and families with children in housing. Three, funds to develop new low-income housing that is affordable to youth and families with children with 30% or lower MFI. Again, I want to have the HIF account set up to transfer these funds for foreclosures to go into an investment fund, which then can then be utilized for affordable housing. I've stated I wanted to see more impartial position taken from the code enforcement people that are doing nuisance liens upon the sale, to where we separate that completely from any backroom deals to nonprofits before these sales take place, to transfer these properties to nonprofits. I want it to go into the HIF fund and then be used toward affordable housing and children with families that might need that type of assistance. Issue number two, on the redemption period, I do have a problem within that first year that anybody goes in and touches that property without actually owning the property. And what my problem is that if they damage the property in the first 6 months because they don't have proper contractors in there, I redeem my property. Now they've damaged my property. I'm going to sue somebody for those damages. I want to have a cap limit set on exactly how much they think they're going to go into that property and set a cap, because that's all you're going to get paid back. Otherwise, I'm going to look at who damaged my property and I'll sue them. An issue I've had before on the code enforcement liens is boarding up properties without you owning the property first. Again, why I have a problem with that, when you board those properties up, that can also limit any sunlight into these properties, create mold. Now you have a house worth nothing. You have an environmental liability. I'm going to look at who I want to sue for that liability. When I own that property, if I'm on title to that property, stay off my property. If you come onto my property, you damage my property, I'm going to sue you for all damages that you incur without my authorization to board my property up. Number three, I want to know why some of these properties can't be located. I want to hear their stories. I want to understand if they had any threats made against them by any code enforcement officers or law enforcement. And at that point, they can come back with their attorneys and sue you for making them flee their property. So I'm going to be watching this process very close. I hope you follow the same type of guidelines that Multnomah County does, and you take interest and protect those people who are on title to these properties and make sure they're treated properly. And BDS, as you know, has the most complaints filed upon them of any bureau in this city. So I'm going to be watching this very closely. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, then let's take a vote, please, on the first of the two.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Prince?
Well, many thanks to City Treasurer Jennifer Cooperman and for the new work going on in the City Attorney's Office. Thank you, Mayor Hales, for leading this. I do have a comment, though, on your statement at the beginning that couldn't happen in other areas of the city and seen more in Lentz. There was a home in my neighborhood that was vacant for at least 5 years, and another one on my commute into town, the one that got burned out on Barber, that's been sitting there looking ugly, getting graffitied. So even where there's a market, presumably, for a, the one that, that was vacant for such a long time, has recently been demolished and is a very nice new house is going up. I would expect it to be selling at an outrageously a price that they wouldn't have even dreamed, that I wouldn't have guessed 20 years ago when I bought our house 30 years. So it's a very difficult legal issue of how to make this fair to the property owners, how to make it fair to the neighborhood, and how to avoid the government being saddled with the cost of these houses. So I really commend you for your work on this. I think it's very significant and moves the ball forward a lot. Aye.
Fish. Aye. Hales.
Well, I think it's important to stress that the houses that we're focusing on here are vacant and abandoned. They are in a condition, like you just described, you're right, all over the city, that is really egregious, and at a time where we have a housing crisis. So we have young people trying to buy their first home being outbid, and there's a vacant house down the street that maybe somebody would fix up if it was in the hands of a responsible property owner. And so that's a big part of the message here. Is there, yes, there are property rights, and we respect them, but there are also property responsibilities. And these are folks that have abrogated those responsibilities by letting their houses fall into just terminally bad condition. And maybe they can be fixed up, or maybe they have to be torn down, but they become a blight on the neighborhood. Those are the very specific subset of houses that we're talking about. So I'm really proud of this work. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. I think this is, again, a case of bureaus really working well together, advancing a complex set of issues forward to real solutions, and I just appreciate it all from all of you that are working on this very much. Aye. Okay, and the second one, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I appreciate the mayor's efforts to address the housing crisis from every conceivable vantage point, and this is one example. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, this is an issue that I have been hearing about and worrying about for the seven and more years that I've been on the council that Mayor Adams tried to address and that you have actually made progress on. So thank you to everyone. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Thank you. Aye. Okay.